Okay, there are two matters to report from closed session. The board, by unanimous roll call vote, passed resolution number 2015-16-19, non-reelection of probationary certificated employees, and authorizing the superintendent or her designee to issue paper notices. The board also unanimously, by a unanimous roll call vote, passed resolution 2015-16-18, release of temporary certificated employees, including probe zero, and authorizing the superintendent or her designee to issue proper notices. Something we do every year for employees. Let's see. No student representative tonight, so I know MCAA is, I know where the representative is. She's rehearsing in the auditorium for Legally Blonde, okay, which is, I think it opens this week?
I think it opens this weekend.
Thursday, I think. moving on, presentation, a proposed Yuba County recharge groundwater revenue distribution. Is someone here to speak to that?
Don't see them.
That must be all resolved then. Okay. Okay. School report, Ella School. Thank you very much for that report.
Yep, you're done.
Why is it not going?
Best all year.
Tick,
you know?
Tick,
going?
Tick.
What are we doing? That's what I'm looking for.
Is there a kindergartner in the audience?
There's a kindergarten teacher in the room.
There we go. Woohoo! Scary. Oh, well, if you haven't ever heard one of my board reports before, I want to apologize already beforehand. And if you have, I want to apologize beforehand if you haven't. In all sincerity, I did go back and check to see what was the average amount of time that each principal got, so then I would be able to kind of, you know, compete. I saw that Doug Eshman did 18 minutes and 33 seconds, and then Gary Cena actually did 21 minutes and 45 seconds. So I thought, you know, I better beat those records because I'm very competitive. And I know that this should take as long as possible.
Yeah.
In all sincerity, I want to thank you as the board and the superintendents for allowing us at Ella to continue to see growth in our children, in our parents, our students, and everywhere. And I don't know if you know it, this year we have grown. We're up to over 550 students alone. When we started 6 years ago, we were at 505. This year we also added Yuba County Office of Ed for the moderate to severe, which is another about 20 kids on top of those numbers that don't count towards that. And then also it doesn't count what we have there with our preschool. So we're over 600 kids on campus that we're feeding and taking care of every day at L Elementary, which is pretty awesome. We do have the space, thanks to the new building, for those of you that have been out there and see our two-story building. It's been great. We do have a couple of Ella teachers and a student, one student teacher and an Ella teacher here, so I want to introduce them to begin with. Lynn Lucas and TK, and Danielle Mercado, she's a student teacher with us with Chico State, and she's in our fourth grade class with Mr. Pete Jeffrey. So I want to thank you guys both for being here. I don't think I missed anybody else because the rest of the crowd looks pretty like their district office people, and then a few others. Hi, Inga. other than that, it is pretty exciting, all the things that are happening at our site. We continue to grow our students, not only academically, but you can see what they're doing as educationally and environmentally, socially. When we got there the year before, there were 550 suspensions for 505 kids. Last year, we had 18 total suspensions. That, I think, is a testament to teachers in the classroom and them working with our students and continuing to have expectations and that the students are following those. And we're really excited about that. So the other area that we've added since the last time I presented, if you're not aware, we also did add American Indian Ed on our site. So that's another area that's been growing and continues to offer resources to our families. For me, it's a win-win because we get people there on the weekends. And the more people you have, the less, obviously, violence and tagging and other things, vandalism that takes place. Some of the people that we continue to partner with, obviously our grounds, we were lucky enough to have Antonio come on our department from the grounds, and he has done a fantastic job of getting our grass to grow. When we first arrived at our campus, everything was dead. It goes all the way back to Mark Cartwright, and he actually put in sprinklers for us. a lot of it was not automated. There was nothing going on, so everything literally was brown when we first arrived. And these are just a few pictures showing some of the greens and things. We continue to have fun every day at Ella. Exciting things are happening. This was just recently with Dr. Seuss Week. The teachers dressed up as their favorite book character. And these are just some of the teachers that are dressed up and the books that they were representing. The kids actually went around, had a parade with it, and they dressed up for the day. Some of you actually got to come out and read for us for Dr. Seuss. We do appreciate that and continue to encourage others to be a part of what's going on. If you put it down to three words, really what Ella is doing is we have purpose, we have passion, and we're wanting growth. And with that purpose, there is in the classroom, you see that the students are engaged because the teachers are passionate about what they're teaching. They're putting in great amounts of time articulating and developing small groups and making sure that they use the assessments and that their formative assessments to be able to see and know what our children need to help them grow. They take the time to look at the data. And the data doesn't lie. It's going to tell you what we can do. I tell people all the time, it's a lot like your gas tank. It's not whether it's good or bad. It's just telling you how much gas you have in your car. And if you're low, you need to make sure you get the information. And that's what our teachers are doing, is they're providing that information, that knowledge to our kids so that they're able to do the best that they can on state tests. But most of all, that they are able to produce in life. We want to be able to continue to see kids that are going to be givers and not takers, those that can touch a life and make a difference in our world today. So these are just some of the things. Shady Creek was just recently, 2 weeks ago, we were up there. We also did a trip where they went to the Sutter Buttes and got to hike through the Sutter Buttes. We had a reading day, and then the picture with myself and the other student is our spelling bee champion, if those of you that went out to the spelling bee. Caesar was our two-year champion. He was our fourth grade and as a fifth grade this year, so good chance he could be a three-time spelling bee champion for Ella. Very proud of him and what he's done at our site. Our teachers are really in it to see all students grow. And that is really what changed our perspective when we started our journey 6 years ago as we made the transitions and we did things. We all decided as a group, what are we going to do? Not what Rob's going to do, because you know principals can come and go. And so it was taking ownership. And everybody had a say. And what we decided was that we can see all students grow. And what we use on our site, we use GLAAD strategies, which is Guided Language Acquisition Development. That's for our second language learners. But also with our EO students, a lot of them don't have strong grammar skills. They're not speaking in complete sentences, believe it or not, at home. Maybe they might hear a cuss word or two. Who knows, maybe. And they're not using their English language properly. And so what we're doing is we're using chants, we're using rhymes and music to help their vocabulary. And you'll see it in the classroom. Anytime you come out, you can actually see it. We use it for our transition times. The teachers have chants that they've come up with. That they go rhyme to like Yankee Doodle Dandy or other songs that you've heard. And then they sing a chant that goes with that. And it helps them develop the vocabulary. We have iReady Math and Language Arts. That is basically, it's a what I would call cyclical or spiraling learning, where if a child does well, the questions get harder. If they actually start missing them, it gets less and less difficult, and it finds out where they are, and we use that for intervention. So children that are struggling in class or having problems, when they go to small group, they'll be in their group of five with a computer, and they'll work with iReady or iMath during that time. And the other things that we use is United Streaming. A lot of times we don't get to go all the places we'd like to in this day and age, So it brings real-life experiences to the kids. If a child's never seen snow, you can pull it up, you see snow, and you can actually watch and hear how it's done. You can talk about zebras or Africa or different places, and that's what the United Streaming. Accelerated Reader, a lot of the same thing where the kids are actually taking tests for what they've read. Understanding and comprehension is really important. A lot of times we talk about fluency, but kids need to be able to comprehend even more than be able to read fluent. We want them to be able to understand what they read. Just because you can read it quickly doesn't mean you understood everything that you read. And that's one of the things that helps them to do. They read a book, they go back, they get AR points for it. We use board language and board math. It's kind of what a lot of us remember for our DOLs, daily oral language or daily oral math. It's 15 minutes every day of areas that the kids are struggling in. So if it's number sense, they're going to get a lot of things on number sense. And if it's language arts area, it could be grammar or it could be sentence structure. It could be multiple areas that they would work on. And BrainPop, it just basically is another quick, easier understanding for a lot of the younger kids. And it brings sometimes science and some other things in with it. And the last is we use our curriculum, obviously, the most. And that is Open Court and Go Math. Those are the majority of what our time, you're looking at, you know, almost 120 minutes of Open Court a day and 90 minutes of math. So that's a lot of instruction. And that's not all direct instruction, but there is small group and other things that take place within that. So we continue to strive to meet those proficiency and advanced goals in our math and ELA because our goal is for every child to be able to come out ahead, not behind. And what we've seen is something that's remarkable with our teachers is even in our SDC classes, for the first time in my career, I've actually seen some kids move out of SDC and into the regular ed class. That's phenomenal because if you've been a teacher as long as I have, and some of you, I've been doing this almost 24 years, if you see a lot of kids that get tracked, whether EL or special ed, and what happens is a child goes from struggling to maybe a year or two of struggling to multiple years of struggling. And so by that time, when they get to SDC, a lot of times they're 2, 3, even 4 years behind. So for a child to make up that much instruction, that's pretty phenomenal. So at elementary school, Ella, our growth is happening. It's going in the classrooms and beyond. We're doing things also with Too Good for Drugs, you know, telling kids of what, you know, making good choices in our community, giving back Lowe's, Walmart and Linda, Bayside, what's now called South Hills Church. They've done so much for our school over the last 6 years that I've been a part, and it's been phenomenal to see the difference. We have flowers growing, we have grass growing, but most of all, we have students that are growing. That's one of the awesome, enjoyable things that I get to see on a daily basis. And knowing that I was joking, and I really am not going to be here for 24 minutes, I'm not trying to break Gary's record. Any questions from the board?
I just have a comment. For a while, I did work at Ella, and I saw the turnaround when Rick Teagarden was there. And then after that, it kind of went down when he became county superintendent. You've brought a life back in Ella. I've watched the different principals there. I remember the day that I met you when you came into our district. And I think the thing is you've got the passion for education. You believe in what you're doing. And I've been on your campus several times, and that passes to the staff. The kids, they know when you've got a passion. You know, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And it comes very obvious that you deeply care about it out there. And I've been able to watch the turnaround. It's a great. You've done a great job.
Thank you, Mr. Riley. And I can't say it enough, but we really have a phenomenal staff. I'm very proud of every single person. I don't care if it's any part of their cooks, janitor, custodial staff that does things beyond, I think, what we should have to do, teachers that are spending just eons of time making sure that our kids are growing, our instructional aides, every area, our secretary, our clerk. I'm so proud of every one of them. I mean, you're right, I do feel passionate about it, but most of all, I'm passionate about the people, and I think we have very strong and passionate people that love kids. Any other questions?
No, very good.
All right, well, thank you, everyone. Appreciate your time.
Okay, comments from board members? Mr. Broom?
We had a good meeting the other day on the facilities master plan, and you know, thinking about it a little bit afterwards, there's a lot of good things, and surprising to probably all of us, a few things that we weren't aware of, but it was nice to see that some of those situations that are, you know, situations that need to be addressed already are already being addressed by Travis and his group. And Ryan, thank you for that also and leading the way. But I just wanted to make sure that, you know, some of the things that we had talked about that different sites wanted have already been addressed by some sites through some of their own funding, and they were fairly prudent in doing that kind of stuff. So I want to make sure that as we go through this that we don't overlook those sites, you know, and as far as their wish list being that they've already taken care of, you know, some of the issues, you know, things such as the security cameras and that type of stuff that some of the sites took upon themselves, so that we don't overlook them because they were prudent to do some of those things on their own. So I just want to make sure that we think about all the sites and don't pass those over that have already done a good job.
Mr. Rasmussen?
So actually I just have a couple of items. A week or two ago, went to a South Yuba County meeting, and Jamie Larson was there. The whole meeting was wrapped around the homeless within Yuba County. And Jamie Larson came and gave a presentation with regards to what we do as a district for the homeless that we have. And I think we're, as she said, somewhere around the 200 mark of our students that are designated as homeless. And then in our board packet, I didn't even realize we had the Happy Happy Toothmobile. So I think that's another thing that we look out and to be able to reach out to the families. And I think it was maybe it said in here of the 1,200 folks that took advantage of it, if it wasn't there, that 67% of them said that their child would not get the care that they needed if we didn't provide that. And listening to back to the county, I think county is actually trying to reach out to homeless, and they're having some availability, but I think the problem is that the transportation portion of it is not there. And for our homeless, I would imagine we have a lot of kids that we drive from out of district to bring to the school sites so they can continue on with the school of residence, or the one that, not residence, but the one that they were attending before. So, you know, it's just wonderful that we can reach out and try to help those students become better people and feel better when they're in the classroom. And the other, I would just like to congratulate all of the Spelling Bee participants that were both at our district level and the county level. They did a very nice job.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes. When I visit schools, I always ask, who do you have that's gone above and beyond? And I was visiting Yuba Gardens, and the vice principal, Heather, left the office and had to take a kid over to the dentist in Yuba City, and you could see that his mouth was really in bad shape, and he was so proud that Heather was going to take him, and she was going to take him over to the dentist in Yuba City, and they explained how much this dental program means to them. And I'm glad also that we do have that, because a lot of these kids have needs. Sometimes we're far beyond. Also, the Read Across America, we had it last Friday when Doug does his flagpole ceremony. And if you've never got a chance to see the Friday flagpole, when the kids line up, staff lines up, the people come from the community, the grandparents. And while we were waiting to start the Reading Across America, Bernie and I were standing there, and it was funny to watch Glenn's little granddaughter came by and said, "Hi, Grandpa." I mean, those kids just get so excited over that Friday. It's unbelievable. I'm so proud I've got my grandkids attending there. Somebody else that I noticed that heard had gone above and beyond was brought to my attention. In Mrs. Negel's class at Covalad, there's an artist by the name of Christine May. And one of our school secretaries up at Browns Valley paid her to come in and show the kids. She brought in drawings of the Lorax, and the kids all got to paint that, and they were so excited about that. Also at Arboga, I got to judge the storyboards for it. It was a volunteer contest, and there was over 40 there, but it was interesting to see that some of the parents, it's good to see that parents worked with their kids. it's almost a rarity anymore. And to see that parents did take the time, and it was really quite a contest. And then when I was at another school, Allafurst, I asked Jimmy, who do you have that goes above and beyond? And right away it came to his mind. He said, you know, we have Bernie Irwin, who's, I think she's worked in our district 30 years, and said she does the crossing guard, and said, I got a call from one of the superintendent in the South that said she was there and saw Bernie at work and said, you know, she is so dedicated to those students, and she works so hard to make sure they get across that street that I need to take the time to tell you. And that was the first thing he mentioned, that this is somebody that really goes above and beyond. And we have a lot of employees in our district that go above and beyond. They do their job daily, but they do a lot above and beyond. And I appreciate that as a board member.
Mr. Danimal? Mr. Crawford? Mr. Harris?
I'd just like to say that I had a good time at the spelling bee, the local one and the county spelling bee. And some of the words, I'm glad I wasn't up there. Even the elementary words were hard for me. But I was able to read at Cedar Lane and at Cobalot. And it's just such a treat to be able to go to the schools and see the little kids and read to them and listen to them. And I went in a couple of minutes before class, and they're in there playing. And everything that goes on in the classroom is related to learning. You know, it's just so nice to hear that in every and that's every classroom you go into in our district. It's all related to learning, even the play. And I'm very, very happy to hear that and see that.
The Read Across America, we were there for Kovalod's, and Mr. Eshman runs a three-ring circus before you ever get to the reading. That was amazing. I wanted to mention also the Exchange Club talent search for talent for the kids not only in our district but in all the Yuba Sutter area. And for some reason, I'm really low on primary contestants. If you have anybody that's 10 or under and would like to, any kind of talent, I don't want the money to go to waste. We give money prizes for second and third, and every kid walks away with a prize package. So if you know anybody in the grade schools that is maybe taking a violin lessons, I've heard Twinkle Twinkle Little Star in previous years, but those kids get a chance to get up on stage. And this year I'm actually short of senior performers, which are 15 through 18, but we're gaining there. But those, if you know those primary kids, I'd sure appreciate it. If any of you guys would give me a call if you have somebody in school that I'll, it's the actual performance is on the 18th. It's at Anna McKinney School. But I'd like to have everything in by Friday so that on Monday I can get all the programs printed. And actually, they won't be printed till Wednesday, but because every kid has to show me the performance. So there's no X-rated performances on the stage, but that's by rule. Okay, moving on. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. That's okay. I expect you to get those people in for the search for talent, those kids. Operating engineers, Local Union 3. Okay, California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Okay, I have no public comments, so that brings us to the superintendent's report.
Well, good evening, everyone. Hopefully you've noticed that the faces at the table to my left have changed from our last board meeting, because they have this evening. And this evening and through May, you will see these three gentlemen here at every board meeting, and they are also coming weekly to Cabinet. So welcome, and thank you for being here. I know it's hard to believe, but I have the promotion and graduation schedule, and it's time for sign-up. So I'll start it down this way, and then it'll make its way down here to those of you on my left. Tomorrow night is our third LCAP Budget Advisory Committee meeting, and we will be in this very room from 5:30 to 6:30, and we'll be designing the survey that will be going out to all of our stakeholders. The goal is to have the survey posted by March 14th in English, Hmong, and Spanish. We're going to work on linking them to the school sites as well, so for parents who do go directly to the school website, if that's easier for them, we want to get as many responses as possible, so we'll be doing that. The survey window will close April 8th, and the results will be brought back to the advisory committee at their next meeting, which will be April 20th. So if any of you are looking for something to do tomorrow night, come on by and help us out. And I do know that you all received this notice from our nutrition services. Just reminding you that it is National School Breakfast Week, and if you haven't made it out to one of the school sites, I think it's well worth your time to go out and see what's going on. I've heard rave reviews, and I will be at Kovalad tomorrow morning at 7:30 looking for breakfast. So I'll bring my own coffee. So should be a lot of fun, and I've heard great reports. So good effort, Amber. Thank you so much for doing that. And that's all I have for you this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Approval of minutes for the, I guess we could do them both at one time, the 2:23:16 meeting and the 3:01:16 meeting. Is there a motion?
If there are no additions or deletions, I make a motion to approve.
Mr. Boone moves to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Danival. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Unanimous. The consent agenda.
I'd like to pull one item, Facilities and Energy Management Department, pull item number one, please.
Okay, item number one of Facilities and Energy Management Department is pulled. There will be a change in wording on this in order to meet DSA acceptance. Is that, I see.
So, Mr. Rex, I would like to also pull another item under Facilities and Energy Management Department, number four.
Number four, which is second inspector's agreement?
Yes.
Okay. That's, so we have the consent agenda with two items pulled. Item number one under Facilities and Energy Management Department, and also under that same heading, item number four. Okay, if there are no other items to be pulled, is there a motion to accept the rest of the consent agenda?
Make a motion to accept.
Okay, Mr. Crawford moves, Mr. Fleury seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay, that brings us to item number one of facilities. Mr. Harris?
I guess since I pulled it, I get to read the change in the wording.
Thank goodness.
And I've committed this to memory, but I think I'll read it just in case. It's the change in the wording is approve the revised project authorization with the following changes. Change increment 1, 2, and 3 to phase 1, 2, and 3, and also change phase 2 from including building B and E to including building B, H, and E, balancing of controls only, and move the replacement of HVAC units from building E to phase 3.
Did everybody get that?
Is that the corrected wording?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I almost couldn't even read that.
Okay. Sorry, I pushed you into that.
Yeah.
Okay. That being the case, would someone like to make a motion to accept item number one as amended?
I'll make a
I just made the motion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. And now to item four. Mr. Rasmussen?
So on item four, my only concern, if you turn the page to page 10, it looks as though they're going to start the construction on May 12th instead of June 6th. So my concern is starting the project, or are they going to do it after school when the kids are not there?
Yeah, or there may be that we're going to have kind of a staggered schedule because we want to complete it by the time school starts in August. So we've already worked with Mr. Eckert to have some of that kind of out of the main quad areas, kind of those funneling areas, because it's not just the quad. There's all those pathways that lead up into the newer science and math building and over to the side. So we're going to work on some of those areas. We'll have them blocked off, and there will be after-hours type work until school ends.
So it'll be a lot like the work that's going on now.
Yeah, and same with the second phase of the HVAC. It'll be similar. If we're doing it in the fall, we'll have to stagger the times as well. We'll do when there's students on campus, it will be staggered times. When there's students not on campus, we'll have regular work hours.
Okay. Thank you.
And so this agreement was just to increase because we've added a little scope, meaning our time frame, so that we make sure we get it completed as close to the first day of school as possible.
Right.
We'd like to close it out and punch it by the time school starts.
Understand. Well, there's going to be kids there, so we either need to start early or finish late.
Yeah, so we want to complete it before school starts.
So I'll make a motion to approve the second inspector's agreement with Optimum Inspections Incorporated.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Rasmussen. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Danable seconds the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. Okay. That brings us to new business. Page 12. Okay, new business. Under Board of Trustees, conflict of interest. We're going to open a public hearing regarding the revision of the board law 9270, conflict of interest, and review it in the interest code for the school district. Would anybody like to speak to this?
So actually I have a question on the board packet. I just now noticed it. What is the reason that we have the following title was updated on February 23, 2016 board meeting? Lead supervisor, is that supposed to be in that area?
It is now under the conflict of interest requirements. It's a new position that was added to our list, and so per board policy, we have to bring that back to the board to include that now under the conflict of interest titles that must submit the paperwork annually.
Thank you.
I move to close the public hearing.
Mr. Crawford moves to close the public hearing. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and now we need a motion to approve the revisions. If there are no corrections to the revisions, the
motion
board will entertain a motion.
Revision.
Mr. Boom moves to approve the revisions. Is there a second? Mr. Danable seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Nay? Any nays? None. Okay. Personnel services. Number one, we have to hold a public hearing on the 2016-17 initial bargaining proposal from UTA to the Marysville Joint Unified School District. The hearing for is now open. If no one is going to speak to that,
make a motion to close the public hearing.
Mr. Harris moves to close the public hearing. Is there a second? Mr. Rasmussen seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Okay. Public hearing is closed. Okay, item purchasing department, bid award, a refrigeration truck. This is kind of interesting. Any comments on this?
Probably about time.
Yeah.
You know, because they've helped us. They've helped us over the years with the Christmas stuff. And I remember 2 years ago, we sat out there and waited on someone to come give us a jump. So, I mean, yeah, I would say it's about time.
I can't field any more Super Bowl complaints. Please get it.
I was wondering what the longevity of the truck would be, but if it's like the last truck, it could be decades.
Decades, man.
Okay. If there's no other input on this motion, the board will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Harris moves to approve. Second. With great relief. He won't be in the truck again. Is that a second, Mr. Crawford? Mr. Crawford seconds the motion. All those in favor? Aye. Any nays? Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, next item, Facilities and Energy Management Department bid award for MCAA portable project. Any comments?
Yeah, I have one quick comment. Just amazed to see the difference in the high and the low bids on this. And any reasoning why that would be happening, Ryan? I mean, are some of these much smaller companies or?
No, because if you look at the one that had the highest bid here, they were the low bidder on the HVAC. We have public information when the bids are read. Sometimes there's requests in terms of who are their subcontractors using, and Ms. Cartwright will read them. The plans are pretty straightforward. It's not a highly complex project, yeah. So you know, I don't know their particulars.
It's just interesting that we're talking of $250,000.
Yeah.
You know, difference in the bids.
Yeah, $350,000 project, and there's 200 and something thousand.
We will say the low bids were close to what our estimates were.
When I know it's before Ryan's time, but we did run into some problems at Kynock when we put portables there. We want to make sure that all the bells and whistles, including the phones and the hooking up the electrical part of the...
Even cameras, we have it all.
Because we did... That was a kickback that cost us a lot of money in those days. And that's good. We do learn. So it's always a concern. Any more discussion on this item? Board will entertain a motion to approve. Mr. Crawford moves to approve.
Second.
Mr. Fleury seconds the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Unanimous. Business services... 2015-16 second interim financial report. Thank you very much for that financial report.
I'm doing the same thing.
Hello, board members and superintendent. So tonight I'll give you the second interim financial report update. As you can see on our budget reporting cycle, we're marching towards getting a preliminary LCAP and preliminary budget so that we can adopt those, the board can adopt those documents in June, and we'll move into 2016-17. Looking at 2015-16, our revenue update, you can see we're changed our estimates a little bit for 16-17 and 17-18 based on the update we gave last time regarding the governor's proposal in January. And we're getting a lot of other state revenue because of some of that one-time money, but still the majority of our revenue is LCFF funds. There's been some slight adjustments since first interim that we presented in December. We recalculated LCFF because that doesn't really become final until June of this year. And then we booked some of the local revenue that we can't reasonably book until we know reasonable assurance that we're going to receive those monies. Moving into expenditures, you'll see salaries and benefits only constitute about 75%. And the reason is there's a lot of capital outlay and other items that we're using with that one-time money. So it's a little lower than normal. Typically, that's 80% or above. But just due to those one-time monies and discretionary and even restricted, a little bit lower than normal. We made some modifications since first interim, and there's the explanations there. You can see some of it, for example, the increase in site spending. There was monies already allocated there, but now they're encumbering or expending them. And so looking really at the major variations, I look at unrestricted because restricted, again, will be restricted to purpose and will ultimately be spent either this year or next year. But you can see there's some ongoing adjustments and some one-time adjustments. So while the unrestricted shows that we have a budget surplus projected for this year at 1.56, 1.55 million, it's closer to 2 million. But again, there will be some more modifications, perhaps operational changes by the end of the year, but that's where we're at this current moment. So we are carrying a surplus. A lot of that's due to our ADA increase, which I'll get into more. You can see our ending fund balance. We have 15.8 million, of which 1.9 million is restricted. There's 13.9 unrestricted, but 3.129 is for economic uncertainty, so we have to have those legally. And there's also another, I put it in the note below, there's about 3.3 million. You'll see when we adopt the budget in 16-17, that will move as assigned monies because we need to keep that for the 2006 certificates of participation. And that doesn't even include the 2012 certificates of participation, which start hitting the books at about 2.8 million per starting in 2023. So obviously we'll have to find other sources of revenue. We may offset some of that with developer fees we receive based on whether or not we have to add classrooms, modular classrooms to sites to accommodate as we are increasing in attendance. If not, we can use some money from developer fees to pay these certificates of participation. So it might not be the full 0.33, but we're still going to assign it and adjust accordingly. So that leaves us about 7.2 million in unassigned ending fund balance. Moving on, I talked about the attendance. So last year, our P2, which is our period 2, average daily attendance was 8,637. You can see we're projecting over 100 increase, almost 130 increase in ADA. And that's based on, again, this is a projection and an estimate based on what our enrollment was in October and what we normally get attendance-wise from that come March. And you can see we're also projecting for 16-17. We didn't project an increase in 17-18 just because it's a little far out on our projections and how we budget conservatively. But a lot of the reason we have a surplus this year is because we expect attendance to increase. Most of our surplus this year that's remaining is from that. You can see the gap percentages. While they seem like they're very close, for example, in 16-17 to 15-16, a lot less of that gap is available. So it's actually a much smaller number than it was. 15-16 looks like it's going to be the peak or the high year in the LCFF funding so far. You can see the STIRS and PERS rates. Again, those are increasing, and that's being taken out of any additional LCFF dollars. And then the one-time discretionary funding. There is some available in 16-17, which I mentioned last time, 214 per ADA, which is about 1.9 million or so for us that we expect into next year. And so we built that into the budget as we look forward on the multi-year. And you can see the multi-year shows a surplus of 1.3 million. That's both unrestricted and restricted. Again, the unrestricted, taking out the one-time dollars, is closer to 2 million. Subject to changes that we have through the rest of the year. Our projection for next year is 7.6 million, of which about 7 million is unrestricted. However, we've already had changes since this, and this financial report's January 31st. We just got another bill from ourselves, for example, that increases our excess cost by $400,000. So that surplus will come down for this year and next year. So, and you can see it actually decreases a little bit in 17-18 because we have.
Did you say it increased our cost?
Yes, by $400,000. So, there's what I'm saying is between we have this financial report of January 31st, things are good. We're definitely showing surplus, but it likely will be diminished by some. We just don't know exactly how much, but obviously something just occurred with SELP. So looking at the long run, we show an increase. We don't obviously believe we'll have that increase. When we start to look at items tomorrow night and we start getting the survey out there and the superintendent presents for approval the LCAP as well as any operational changes, we expect this to flatten out more.
Again, 17-18 is a very far off projection because we don't know the numbers for 17-18, but we have reasonable assurance on what we will receive in 16-17 based on the governor's proposal. So likely to flatten out more, but there is some surplus dollars. There was $7 million projected for next year, already reduced by $400,000 as we speak. But we'll continue to monitor and make adjustments as we go. So, you know, we more or less have always aimed for a balanced budget. But so we, as the surplus becomes more defined and we get closer to the end of the year, you know, we'll spend it to increase or improve services for students. That surplus grows into 16-17, as we said. A lot of that has to do with that ADA increase. Not only are we getting a little bit more in LCFF money, not quite the dramatic increases we had in 14-15 and 15-16, as we expected. A lot of it is due to our ADA increase, so almost half of it for next year is ADA increase. So we'll make LCAP and other operational adjustments as we move forward. We have a lot of one-time dollars, and those are the projects, as you know, that they're going to. We've already budgeted for the HVAC increment, now phase two, with $16-17 dollars, and we'll continue to build towards $16-17. So I just updated the budget calendar. Tomorrow night's the LCAP meeting, and we'll move forward with the fourth one and the final survey results in April and so forth until we get to next year. So I'd like to thank, again, Fiscal Services Department, especially our director, Jennifer Pasaglia, for all their hard work on this budget. This is her baby, so I appreciate all the efforts that they go to. And with that, I'll open it up to any questions.
Yeah, Ryan, on your looking forward, spend current surplus to improve or increase services for students. Does that mean that you want to not show any one-time funds left over at the end of the year?
No, one time will be based on how we close the project. I'm talking about the ongoing or recurring revenues and expenditures.
Okay.
For us, the one time will be spent based on how the project ends. So we have a lot of summer projects. They're going to go into next year. So
yeah, and if we didn't have some one-time money, we would have really been in trouble when it came to a project the size of Lyndhurst. So
yeah, and we still need more to do phase three. And there's other, as you know, with the facility master plan, there's much more facility projects needed. We have the money to cover the 2006 certificates of participation, but we don't for 2012. So we definitely, that's why we're starting the planning process now. And then you could see, too, that's why we take out the one-time here for 15-16 and we look at what the ongoing is, because that's really what's the recurring, that operating or structural surplus.
Ryan, do we have an anticipated date for the master facilities plan completion? Because it really seemed like that's an important document to try to drive the LCAP.
Okay, so that's going to be presented as a living, breathing document, like the budget will be updated every year. We will present the 2015-16 or into 16-17 version is projected at the second meeting in May for the board. But again, that document will be updated as we identify new needs, as we address projects, and as we perhaps amend both terms of scope and projects within the district. We're going to add demographic information. So it will be a year-to-year document, but the first version of it will come out, we believe, the second meeting in May. And that will set out what our priorities are for 16-17 and beyond.
Okay, if there's no further questions, the board will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to accept the second interim financial report.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved by Mr. Harris, seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay, before we close, we have, we'd like to close the board meeting in memory of two former teachers who have passed away since our last board meeting. Shannon Deal, who taught at Alicia and Yuba Gardens, Cedar Lane.
Sharon.
I'm sorry, Sharon Deal. And Joanne Landsberger, who taught at Marysville High School for about half of my career. She taught typing, okay, which is kind of following, and business math and shorthand at one time. Okay. Sorry to see them go, but great memory. No other business? Adjourned.